It's just gone 18 after 9. You are listening to Radio Islam International. We do have Mufti Zubair Bayat from KZN on the program. Mufti Saad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana. And assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
MashaAllah, Mufti Saab, back-to-back programs. Just yesterday we had a chat on air. Mara Ahmed Waja, my colleague, was doing a program with you on the Q&A slot. Now, alhamdulillah, back on the basic fiqh. And then tomorrow night, inshallah, we speak to you again. May Allah reward you for your efforts, Mufti Saab.
Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen, Mawlana.
MashaAllah. Mufti Saab, being the month of Ramadan, naturally our discussion will also be pertaining to the month of Ramadan. And we want to talk about an important aspect, that Ramadan is here. Let's make it the best. Mufti Saab?
Yes, no doubt. No doubt. We should make it the best, Mawlana. In fact, we all should make it our best Ramadan.
Jee, man.
Indeed, Mawlana, this is the Ramadan is here. We should make it our best. And this is actually the title of a booklet that was published recently by Darul Ihsan Center in Durban. And actually what it is it's a compilation of a few short motivational articles to help one prepare for the blessed month of Ramadan.
Wonderful. Mufti Saab, take us through some of the contents of this book.
This booklet, alhamdulillah, is printed, it's distributed free of charge. And whoever wants a copy must just write to us, or they can email to us. It's Darul Ihsan organization in Durban. This book is given out free of charge. You can collect it from our offices. Whoever wants a copy, they most welcome to come and collect a copy of it. Basically, it is a lot of short articles by various writers. There are some articles written by myself in here as well, Mawlana.
MashaAllah.
And some articles written by an article by Hazrat Masihul Ummah, Mawlana Hazrat Muhammad Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani, Dawud Barakatuhu, Khalid Beik. Brother Khalid Bey, who is a very prolific writer, one of the ulama at our organization, Mawlana Muhammad Amir, he's also written a short article. Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Patel, Damat Barakatum, one of our very learned and pious ulama of KZN, an article by him as well. Hazrat Hadi Farooq Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, great, one of our great senior elders. So these are some of the articles. There's one article relating to health guidelines in the month of Ramadan by Dr. Farooq Hafidi. And there's one article by Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Ali relating to the month of Ramadan. So alhamdulillah, we have variety of our ulama whose articles appear in this booklet, which is about 60 pages in size. And as I mentioned, it is it's free of charge for whoever wishes to collect a copy from our offices. They're most welcome to collect a free copy of this booklet. Ramadan is here, make it your best.
MashaAllah, Mufti Saab. The word free is emphasized, so that's good, Mufti Saab. MashaAllah.
Now, just to maybe, shall we just go through some of the contents of the book, some articles? Can we just skim through it, Mawlana?
Sure.
The advantage will be that we will be able to see various aspects of Ramadan from different scholars, inshallah, in a very concise way, inshallah.
Inshallah, Mufti Saab.
So, we have the article by Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali, and the title of that article is Ramadan is a Special Month. And Hazrat starts off the article by stating that Allah SWT has protected us from our routine of negligence and indifference through the month of Ramadan. So this is a very profound statement. Allah Ta'ala has protected us from our routine of negligence and indifference through the month of Ramadan. So it means that Ramadan has actually come to take us out from negligence and ghaflat. And Hazrat says that it is as if Allah is saying, not that Allah Ta'ala is saying it, but it is as if Allah is saying, "Oh my banda, oh my slave, why are you so engrossed in your farming? Why are you so engrossed in your shop? Why are you so engrossed in your job? Why are you so engrossed in your other activities? Come to me, free yourself of everything and come to my door." So it is as if Allah Ta'ala has summoned us here in the month of Ramadan to shower us with His gifts, and so that we can be forgiven our sins, and that our rectification of our selves can be done, and the purification of our hearts can be completed. So Hazrat then says that this is indeed a month when Quran should be recited in abundance, name of Allah should be taken, zikrullah should be done, tasbih should be done in abundance, durood should be done, istighfar should be done, optional ibadah should be done. And Allah SWT has changed the shayateen to help us to carry out these acts which otherwise would have been difficult, but by changing the shayateen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it very easy for the believers to carry out all these actions which normally in other months would not have been that easy. So in essence, this is the summary of the article, that try and free yourself up in this month for the ibadat and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for that indeed will be very beneficial in every way. Then there is the next article. I'm not reading it in sequence, Maulana, I'm just taking at random. There is an article, as I mentioned, by Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani, Dawud Barkato, and he speaks about how to spend Ramadan. Mm. Now this is very important, that how should one spend the month of Ramadan. So he gives a few important guidelines here, and he says that this is a month of purification, and it's annual renovation of the inner self. It's an annual renovation of the inner self. And it's a golden opportunity for the believers to strengthen the iman and purify their hearts and souls. Yes. So he then goes on to say that one should maximize his acts of ibadat and minimize his worldly activities. A very similar message to what Hazrat Basirul Ummah Rahmatullah has given, that one should maximize ibadah and minimize the worldly activities in this month.
Mm.
And one should sort of plan his schedule for this month beforehand so as to have maximum time for ibadah. Thereafter, he gives a brief list of some activities that one should do in the month of Ramadan. For example, number one, he says, every salah should be offered with jama'at in the masjid. This is particularly for the menfolk. Right? And then he says the next point is that one should awaken a little earlier than normal before the suhoor time, so that a person can at least read some salatul tahajjud. And there's no prescribed number of rakats, but 8 rakats is preferable. The third thing he mentioned is the importance of the other nafil salahs like Ishraq and Salatul Duha, which is also called Chash Namaz, and Awabin. The fourth point he mentioned is the recitation of the Quran, and he says there's no limit that is prescribed. One should recite as much as possible. The fifth point he mentioned is about the zikrullah, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and him, he speaks about the tasbih, subhanallah bihamdi, subhanallah al-azim, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim, subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim, and durood sharif. And he mentions that minimum a person should read this 100 times a day, and it could be read throughout the day, even when walking, when lying down in the bed, etc. One may engage in these various forms of zikr. And the sixth thing he mentions here is dua and supplications. And one should supplicate fervently in the month of Ramadan. And there are various booklets on the subject of supplications. He mentioned Hishmul Hashim of Imam Jazari Ramatulali, Munajat Maqbool of Hazrat Thani Ramatulali. These are some of the booklets that he mentions that one should incorporate in one's supplications to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he also mentions that the seventh point is to give sadaqah, and he says this is apart from giving zakat, one should also spend optionally in the month of Ramadan. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pay special attention in Ramadan towards the poor and help them and assisted them. So therefore a Muslim should give, besides zakat, other forms of charity should be given generously in the month of Ramadan. And then he ends off the article, so these are seven actions that should be done and seven actions that one should not do in the month of Ramadan. First of all, he mentions at the end that all sinful acts should be completely shunned in the month of Ramadan. In fact, throughout the year, but the prohibition becomes even more severe in the month of Ramadan. So, he also mentions that we stay away from lawful acts and lawful things, that is like eating, drinking, eating halal food, etc. We abstain from that, but we continue to commit sins, then it is actually making a mockery to avoid the lawful things and yet engage in lawful acts, unlawful acts. So this is something very important to ponder, reflect upon, that we staying away from all the permissible and legal things for the pleasure of Allah, and then in the same breath we indulging in all unlawful things which causes the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a contradiction, and Mufti Sahib refers to it as a mockery. So he singled out seven actions that one should try and avoid in the month of Ramadan. Number one, telling lies. Number two, that dieting, which we call gossip. Number three, quarreling. That is to get into argumentation, etc. Number four, turning to unlawful means. Number five, eating unlawful things. Number six, harming people, causing them hurt or pain in any way. And number seven, burdening one's servants or employees without, and something beyond their ability, without providing the facilities to carry it out. So he singled out all these actions as things that one should avoid in the month of Ramadan. So one should protect the eyes, the ears, the tongue, and all the other organs from indulging in unlawful activities in the month of Ramadan. He says that if a person spends the Ramadan in this manner, then throughout the year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a person good Islamic life, and he will be able to sustain that and maintain that because he had done so in the month of Ramadan. So that was the article by Mufti Taqi Sahib, Dawud Barakatuhum, very, very beneficial and informative article.
Indeed. What about Haji Farooq Sahib, Mufti Sahib?
The Haji Farooq Saab Rahmatullah Ali, his article is also a very beautiful one relating to the i'tikaf in the month of Ramadan. And this is actually a kind of program that he has given for i'tikaf, how to spend one's time profitably. And I know that we still just in the beginning days of Ramadan, this is only the third fast of Ramadan, but nonetheless, one should start preparing already from now for i'tikaf, especially those who intend to sit for i'tikaf and those who don't intend, but inshallah by learning of the virtues, they will get inshallah inspired to sit for i'tikaf as well. So, Haji Saab Rahmatullah Ali, he mentions in this how to spend the time profitably in i'tikaf. And he mentioned that it is found that many people don't spend their time constructively during i'tikaf. Others wish to do so, but they don't have an idea what to do. So he has a certain set of recommended practices for i'tikaf. And when Hazrat had performed i'tikaf at Darul Uloom Zakariya in the year 1998, then these were some of the things that he had recommended for the people sitting for i'tikaf. Then after every salah, there was some activity that he prescribed. After Maghrib, for example, the awabin, the tasbih of the third kalima. After Isha, the reading of some Islamic literature like Hayatul Muslimin and Jazawul Amal, etc. And then taking a break and reading the Zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, completing Zikrullah, and reading the Tasbihat, and making Muhasabah, that is taking stock of one's actions, doing Maraqabah Maut, reading Istighfar. Then he speaks about getting up early in the morning, performing 4 to 8 rakats of Tahajjud, having Suhoor, etc. And then after Fajr, the different activities that one can engage in, or different amal, like Surah Yasin, Surah Ikhlas, the Durood Sharif, Ishraq Salah, and then the Salatul Duha, what is called Chash Namaz, and after Salatul Zuhr, again, engaging in reading some of the kitabs, and of course, all the time in between, making tilawat of the Quran and reading Munajat Maqbool, etc. So these are some of the advices in the time of, in the format of a timetable. But he also mentioned some general advices. Number one, be particular about occupying the first sun at performing the salawat, the takbir-e-ula, especially when one is in i'tikaf. So this opportunity is available to a person. And exhorted the importance of being constantly in zikr and the importance of upholding the etiquette of the masjid and to doing all actions with sincerity and only speaking what is necessary, not to speak unnecessarily. And to constantly focus on this thought that Allah is watching me and I am in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as his guest. So one should keep these guidelines in mind when a person is sitting for i'tikaf. So that was the beautiful article by Hazrat Haji Farooq Saab Rahmatullah Ali.
MashaAllah. Mufti Saab, perhaps you can end off with one more article of Khalid Beg and then inshallah we can give you ijazat.
Okay, inshallah, the article by Brother Khalid Beg, he's asked a question in the beginning. This article is titled The Message of Ramadan. And he says that we observe Ramadan every year, but what are we supposed to gain out of it? And then he touches on various aspects relating to the month of Ramadan, message of Ramadan is that we are not just a body, but Ramadan is giving us a message that we are a body and a soul, and that our value as human beings is not only relating to our body, but it is what is relating to the soul. And he says that during Ramadan, we deprive the body to actually uplift the soul. And he speaks about the minimizing of the materialistic things during the month of Ramadan, where we're learning to curtail the desires and the appetite of the body. So he speaks about how by going on to a spiritual program of focusing on the soul and moving the focus away from the body, we're actually beginning to learn how to curtail the cravings of materialism. He says Ramadan has actually come to liberate us from materialism. Then he spoke about the sermon of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at the beginning of the month of Ramadan, or at the end of Shaban, the famous hadith which has been quoted very frequently in various mediums. In the books of hadith it has been mentioned, the famous one, the khutbah that Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave about the greatness of the month of Ramadan, and it is a blessed month, etc. That he has highlighted. And then he speaks about the end of Ramadan, the i'tikaf, as an act of seclusion for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solely, and that the Muslim community must take a break and go away to the masjid in these last 10 days so that we can become spiritually realigned. So this was some of the advices that we find regarding the month of Ramadan from the article of Khalid Baig. And he also mentions towards the end of the article that Ramadan is a month of kindness and charity, with millions of people in the world suffering. This message of Ramadan, of kindness and generosity and spending, cannot be overstated. And he also gives another important message at the end of the article. He says that today Ramadan has become a month of celebration, a month of shopping, fancy iftars at posh restaurants, entertainment and gossip. People are staying up the whole night, but not for ibadat, but whiling their time away, watching TV or wandering around in the shopping malls. So what he says here is that Ramadan has now become more a month of feasting for people than a month of fasting.
Ajay.
So this was very important points raised by Brother Khalid Baig in his article, and he ends it off on that note, that let not Ramadan become a month of feasting, but it should be a month of fasting, in the sense that we shouldn't be concentrating only, you know, on the leisurely activities that we do normally outside of Ramadan in this month. People going out to dine in restaurants and, you know, worrying all the time about having sumptuous meals, etc., because that actually is contrary to the very spirit of the month of Ramadan.
Wonderful stuff, Mufti Sahab. We really appreciate your contribution this morning, and Jazakallah khair for coming on, Mufti Sahab.
Jee, Maulana, then yes, before, if we can maybe just squeeze in one more article, Maulana.
Sure, sure, Mufti Saab, by all means.
Yeah. Okay, we maybe squeeze in two, inshallah. This one very important article is relating to the health guidelines in the month of Ramadan. I think this is something that we generally don't have much discussion about, but it's very important also, you know, in the month of Ramadan, to be health conscious and to be conscious of what we are eating, so that from a physical point of view also, we are at the best in terms of, you know, good health in the month of Ramadan. So this article was written actually by a well-known doctor in Durban, a very senior, respected person, who's written, mashallah, lots of good books and articles of benefit to the Muslim community, Dr. Farooq Hafiji from Durban. And in this, he has this article titled Useful Health Guidelines for Ramadan. So he says here that this article provides some useful guidance on how to avoid some of the common health problems that are encountered in the month of Ramadan. So he says that, first of all, during Ramadan, our diet should not be very much different from the normal diet, but in fact it should be even more simpler if possible. He also mentions that if a person is overweight, Ramadan is the ideal time to sort of shed the extra weight and to bring one's weight, down to what should be the ideal weight of a person. His advice is that because we will be staying hungry for a protracted period of time, then we should eat slow digesting foods and foods that include fiber rather than fast digesting foods, because a slow digesting food could last up to 8 hours in the stomach, whilst fast digesting food lasts for only 2 to 3 hours or 3 to 4 hours. Then he gives a list of the slow digesting foods that comprise many of the grains, like barley, wheat, oats, etc. And the fast burning foods or the fast digesting foods are things that contain sugars, white flour, etc. These are the things that get digested very quickly, so therefore a person will start feeling hungry quite quickly because of these fast burning foods. Then he talks about the importance of following a well balanced diet and having food from each of the food groups so that we can have an all rounded, well balanced diet in the month of Ramadan. And then he says what we should avoid is those type of foods that are unhealthy, that can cause indigestion, heartburn, and even, weight gain. We should avoid these type of foods in the month of Ramadan. So he refers to fried foods. All kinds of fried foods now, that will include all the samosas and bhajiyas and that kind of stuff, where there is a lot of oil used to prepare these foods. Then he speaks also about foods that contain too much of sugar. Overeating at the time of iftar and too much of tea at the time of sehri. These are some of the things that can be harmful to the health and that can make the fast difficult. he speaks about the importance of, you know, foods that have a complex carbohydrate, for example, khajur, dates, tumur. These are very, very beneficial because they have excellent source of fiber, carbohydrates, potassium, magnesium. Also speaks about bananas as a good source of potassium, magnesium, and a carbo. Almonds, badam, so rich in protein and fiber with less fat. So it speaks about some of these kind of recommended foods one should have in the month of Ramadan, drinking of water, fruit juices, etc. And the type of things that one must be very careful about is constipation and also indigestion, eating, overeating, eating too much of fried and fatty foods, spicy foods, also carbonated and fizzy drinks like Coke, etc. These can cause indigestion and produce wound. I just read on a side note, Maulana.
Jee, Muftisab.
I read an article or a little clip yesterday where it said that you should have a teaspoon of sorb, or what is called fennel, daily, you know, just after your iftar.
Gee.
And that will help very much for this problem of flatulence or gases or, you know, the things that cause a lot of burping, etc. You'll be able to bring that under control with a teaspoon of salt every day. So I thought that was quite a nice thing for somebody to write that, because what we do find is because we overeat at iftar time, people tend to belch quite a bit, and especially when it comes to, you know, Taraweeh in the masjid, then you find it uncomfortable if you're standing next to a person who's belching all the time. So therefore, this I think this tip is a very good one about having the salt, because it will actually help you with the belching problem. So like this, Dr. Saab has touched on a number of things. I won't go into all the details, Mona. He speaks about, you know, headaches, what causes headaches, low blood pressure, lethargy, what diabetics should be concerned about, ulcers, heartburn, hiatus hernia, kidney stones. These are some of the things that he has touched upon, joint pains. He has touched upon all of these in the article. And then in conclusion, the article of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Ali.
MashaAllah, khitamuhu misk.
Khitamuhu misk. And why in the conclusion? Because Hazrat's article is titled After Ramadan.
Gee.
So, in other words, what should we be doing after Ramadan? And he gives a beautiful advice that how the month of Ramadan comes like rain. And it waters not the plants, but it waters our hearts. And that spiritual drought is removed, because we abstain from the factors that cause spiritual drought, like all un-Islamic activities, etc. And now that Ramadan brings those rains and our hearts have started to flourish again, then we should maintain that fervor and that spirit after the month of Ramadan. He asked that, did we stay away from all these things that were even lawful and permissible in the month of Ramadan, only to start indulging shamelessly on the very day of Eid already, immoral activities, shameless activities, indecent amusement. So Hazrat is asking a beautiful question, that are we going to, did we stay away from all these things so that we can return with renewed vigor to our previous sins that we committed, like gambling, drinking, adultery and fornication? Are we going to shelve all the good things that we did in the month of Ramadan for 11 months only to take it off again next Ramadan? Hazrat says that the masjid which were filled on almost all the nights of Ramadan, are we going to empty the masjid out and wait till the next Ramadan before we start coming to our masjids again? So these are some of the important questions that he poses, and obviously these are rhetorical questions, meaning that the answer is obvious to everyone that this is not what the month of Ramadan is all about. So Hazrat is emphasizing the need to continue on the path of piety outside Ramadan, just as we had done in the month of Ramadan. We should maintain that and we should continue with that. So this was a wonderful article of Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Ali. Right at the end of the book, there's some recommended du'as for the month of Ramadan. Said there's a du'a for the sighting of the new moon. There's a du'a when Ramadan approaches. What to be read excessively in the month of Ramadan? La ilaha illallah, astaghfirullah, asaluka al-jannah, a'udhu bika minan nar. What is a recommended du'a to read between every four rakats of Taraweeh is also mentioned here, which comes from Ibn Abidin Shami Rahmatullah's famous book, Fatawa Shamiya. And also the du'as for fasting, the du'a when opening the fast, the du'a for Laylatul Qadr, and of course then the greeting for the day of Eid, so that we end it off, inshallah, with the sunnah. And the preferred method, the recommended method of greeting on the day of Eid, which is Taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum, may Allah accept from us and accept from you. So I think, inshallah, we will also end this program off on that note, Mawlana, on that dua. Taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum.
Gee, Mufti Sahab, we still have one more tomorrow, inshallah, and then we can end off on that note, inshallah, Mufti Sahab. I say we still have one more program tomorrow night, and then we can end off on that note with this up, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Jazakallah khairan. We hope to speak to you 9 to 10 tomorrow at night, inshallah. Take care, Zalim Muftisab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alright, it brings us to the end of today's program. I wanted to speak about the sickly people and what motivation can they take from the month of Ramadan and what could they have done in this month. But anyways, time does not permit us. Next time, inshallah, stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.